Out on the tip of Cape Cod, not far from all the vacationers in Provincetown, there's a huge expanse of lonesome sand dunes, sparsely dotted with 18 withered shacks. For more than a century, artists and writers have come there for inspiration, for contemplation, and relaxation. Cape Cod resident and our friend Alice Furlow sometimes wanders up to those shacks.
Slogging across the dunes, up steep sandy peaks, and down into sandy valleys, the mile out to the ocean can seem like 10. I hiked out with the poet Nell Husted, who stayed in several dune shacks in her day.
It's not a long walk, but it's a hard walk.
At the top of this next ridge, see if the sea is there. In the ever-changing landscape of the dunes, Nell and I were lucky to find the dune home of a famous Provincetown character, the late poet of the dunes, Harry Kemp. He wrote, "I said, when I'm alive no more and my soul at last goes free, you'll find me walking on the dunes and down beside the sea." And there was a ghostly feeling in the house.
And this is where the poet of the dunes lived year-round and wrote his poetry. And here it is. Look, let's go in. It's as if he had just left, isn't it? And a little stove, a little wrought iron stove to keep warm, and a candle.
And these are his books. Let's see one. This has a library card in the back.
Due November 1st, 1928.
Dune shacks like Harry Kemp's are part of a tradition that may reach back to the 18th century. Certainly, in 1849, Henry David Thoreau looked into a shack built to house shipwrecked sailors. He found it badly equipped and inhospitable. It's long since washed away. So has the shack where the young communist writer John Reed stayed, before he wrote his first-hand account of the Russian Revolution and earned the honor of being buried in the Kremlin wall.
I don't want to play in your yard. I don't like you anymore. You'll be sorry when you see me sliding down our cellar door.
In Warren Beatty's movie Reds, Reed carouses in a dune shack with the playwright Eugene O'Neill. They're serenaded by their communal girlfriend, Louise Bryant. In fact, O'Neill lived in relative style out on the dunes in an old lifeboat station. Few of the people who for years have depended on the quiet and freedom of the dune shacks actually own one. In fact, since 1961, the dunes and the shacks on them have belonged to the National Park, who have leased the shacks to the few remaining owners for their lifetimes. But the shacks have never been thought of as possessions, home sweet home, real estate. Everybody lends their shacks to a population of friends as shifting as the dunes themselves. I skidded up and down the sand hills in a truck with Will Hapgood, the caretaker of four shacks. Hapgood is a founder member of a trust which has managed to convince the state of Massachusetts to declare the dune shacks historic buildings, even though none of them are over 65 years old. We ended the tour with a bottle of wine in a shack where I spent a night long ago. There were candles in jelly glasses, crickets chirping, a door slamming gently in the wind. It seemed eerily unchanged. I proudly told Will Hapgood about my discovery with Nell Husted of Harry Kemp's actual dune shack.
That wasn't quite Harry Kemp's shack because, you know, one day in a storm it blew down.
Now, wait a minute.
What does it really matter? It probably was Harry Kemp's shack, but didn't you notice that it was made out of plywood?
Neither of us had noticed any plywood. Perhaps these sand dunes have the power to blur the difference between illusion and reality. Or is it thanks to Will and his fellow shack restorers that with barely an original beam remaining, each of these shacks has retained its own weathered, sketchy personality? A difficult thing to preserve. Like so many stories and plays that have been written inside them, the shacks are works in progress.
but it will never have a final draft.
Allie Furlow makes her home not too far from the Dune Shacks in Truro, Massachusetts.